Excuse me, recordings has now started. You may now proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the IRTP Part D Working Group on the 25th of August, 2014. On the call today, we have Volker Greeman, Angie Graves, Barbara Knight, James Bladell, Kevin Erdman, Alan Greenberg, Avery Doria, Graham Bunton, and Kristen Dorain. We have apologies from Paul Diaz and Holly Raich. From staff, we have Amy Bivens, Marika Konings, Barry Cobb, Steve Chan, Lars Hoffman, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, James.
Thank you, Terry, and good morning and welcome, everyone, to IRTPD for August 25th, and thanks to those of you who are participating from vacation. Does anyone have any updates to their statements of interest? Please indicate so in the Adobe room or get my attention on the call. Okay, seeing none, does anyone have any questions, concerns, or additions to our agenda, which is posted in the right-hand column of the Adobe screen? Okay, great. Let's dive in. So we are very near the end of putting the finishing touches on our final report and our final recommendations. There, last Monday, there were some edits sent around by Arthur, some proposed language changes, and I believe, and Lars is going to interrupt me if I'm wrong, but I believe that this version of the document has those proposed changes highlighted. So I'd like to go through those fairly quickly and see if everyone on the group is okay with those proposed changes or whether or not we need to discuss them further. So perhaps, Lars, that would be a good place to start, and we can dive in there. Can you take us to the first change, which I believe is this is associated with I can't scroll. So is this a change to – this is a new section that would be added to the – I'm sorry, Lars, I see now that your hand is up. Please, take it away.
Thanks, James. Yeah, I believe I just try to think, everybody. It's on page 30 is where it starts. It's more than just an edit. It's almost two pages. I keep you on sync for a moment. So it starts on page 30 with new preliminary data. It's edited by me because Arthur sets up a document and I copy and paste it over. But this is Arthur's. These are Arthur's edits. Just copy and paste it in there. And then they continue on page 31. Arthur made a comment on this, which weirdly it's over when you copy and paste it. And then it goes on to page 32.
Okay, so let's take a look here.
I got back up to page 30, and I'm releasing it for everybody so you can scroll in and out and go up.
Thank you. So these span between page 30 and the bottom of page 30 through page, did you say 32?
Yeah.
About halfway through page 32. Okay, so my first observation is that, and this is going under the observations of the FOA section in response to, I believe, charter question F. Yes, correct. So my first just initial reaction is that this is a fairly lengthy edit, and I'm wondering if there's any opportunity to condense it while retaining the points that Arthur is seeking to include in our report here, just noting that that it is not making any comments on its content, just noting the length of this document. But let's go through it here, where the proposed edit begins at the bottom of page 30. New preliminary data relating to the necessity of the FOA, but not yet collected in response to this chart question, was presented by one of the working group members. The data contains TLD transfer abandon or fail rates defined by the number of registrants who, after one or more attempts, opted to cancel their transfers. Such cancellation could be due to the registrant change their mind, or the registrant finds the RTP too complicated, given up, or C, is otherwise canceled. Alleged numbers for gtldtransfers.com is a rate of 26.5%, whereas for ccTLDs, NL and EU being examples, it is a rate of 8.7 and 12.2% respectively. reduction of this abandoned rate of GTLD transfers could be a reason for eliminating the FOA, as less registrants will give up and more will succeed. This could increase user-friendliness of the IRTP. Members of the working group have found the FOA possibly blocking legitimate transfers, as well as acting prohibitive and choosing a new registrar, but with your feet. So it seems like, if I could stop there for a moment. First off, it seems like that last sentence is really captures the essence that Arthur, who I believe is on the call, but I don't see in the room, is trying to insert here, is this that some members of the working group have found that the FOA is potentially blocking legitimate transfers and acting prohibitively, which, you know, restating that would be that it is inhibiting registrants' ability to choose a new registrar. It's suppressing customer choice, basically. So I think that's the point of this. I think that it's not correct to state the three issues given, because as we discussed as a group, there was a fourth reason, which is that the FOA could be operating exactly as it was intended to be, in that it stopped an illegitimate transfer, and there's no way to tell that from some cases. So what are the group's thoughts on this? I'm just looking at the first two paragraphs here, and Arthur, you know, feel free to weigh in here. I believe that we can condense this these two paragraphs to the statement with you know, we're preserving some of the statistics here that compare .com to .nl and .eu, that that this could be condensed into a single sentence or two. So looking for some thoughts on that. Volker?
Yes. First of all, thank you, Arthur, for the preliminary draft. I think it's very interesting, and I think we should include some language to take care of these concerns. However, it's like James said, it's a bit pushing in one direction. It's a bit one-sided when you describe the reasons for failing transfers as mainly a blockage of or unintended consequence of the FOA. I also would object to the inclusion of new preliminary data, because there has been no study, no checking of this data. This is data from one registrar, I understand, and therefore we have no way of grading that data or evaluating that data at this stage. And I personally, I hadn't even had the chance to look at the data sources. So referring to this data that we haven't really checked or looked at in detail in the report may be a bit overreaching.
Thank you, Volker. Alan?
Thank you. I tend to agree with Volker. I can certainly live with keeping the data there, but I think the paragraph after it has to present all of the possible interpretations. I mean, .com and .eu and .nl are very, very different beasts. The process for getting registrations, there are different sets of rules. We know that there are all sorts of differences among how the TLDs are used, and therefore I think if we're going to present data and say this is the interpretation, we're going to have to give all of the interpretations, which is going to make this much longer and end up effectively saying we don't know what it means, because we really don't have the ability to understand what the dynamics are that are completely at play here. So, you know, I prefer not to see it because of the limited scope and limited understanding, but if it is going to be there, we've got to present all of the interpretations, not just one side. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. I went ahead and put myself in the queue to weigh in on this, because from a personal perspective, I think I'm agreeing with Volker, but I'm not sure, so let me just explain here. I don't believe that the comparison is – it's interesting, but I don't know that we can make a direct comparison between .com and CCTLDs in particular, some that are listed. I think that a better comparison might be, well, first of all, COM is a thin registry, so it might be difficult to compare to any thick registry, which would be anything else, really. So I tend to agree that the data is, one, it's coming from one registrar. Actually, two, I think Rob Golding also introduced some data at some point. Maybe we didn't capture it in the report, but I think it's in an email. So I think that we're talking about some data from some registrars that's questioned whether or not that's representative of the experience of all registrars. And I don't, I also don't support the idea that we can determine what the intention of a registrar was simply by looking at some of these statistics. Because as the report notes, and as we've discussed, there could be a number of reasons, some of which are listed here, some of which might not be listed here. So my proposal to the group would be to retain the primary point that's being made by these two paragraphs, which is that some members of the working group have observed that the FOA could be blocking legitimate transfers and acting to prohibit registrars from choosing a new registrar. Registrants from choosing a new registrar. Data or statistics have been offered, but the data set may not be complete, and it is difficult to determine the intention of a registrant based on the data. We can say that, or we can just leave it out. We should work to reduce this rate of abandonment of GTLD transfers, maybe setting that as an aspirational goal. So I'm thinking we can really boil down these two paragraphs into something like that, which I believe captures the essence of the point that Arthur is proposing. So I'll lower my hand now and then go back to the queue, which is Volker.
Yeah, thank you, James. I think that's a very good suggestion to boil it down to the essence. I would, however, not use the word blocking legitimate transfers, but rather say complicating legitimate transfers, because it is no block. It's just a complication. It's just an additional step. It's not a blockade in any way. Blockade would be a lock that isn't removed, so the registrar not allowing a transfer or similar issues. So that's one thing.
Complicating transfers, yeah. Would you prefer that term?
Yeah, I wouldn't say blocking, because I think that it has a negative connotation that is problematic. And I would also say that if we are looking at if we are suggesting that we would look at reducing the amount of failed transfers, we should include language that says reduce failed transfers without compromising domain security or something to that effect.
How about reducing the rate of abandonment of legitimate transfer attempts or something? Use the word legitimate. We definitely want to continue to block illegitimate transfers.
Correct.
Okay. Lars, I don't know if you're getting all this.
Hi, James. Yes, no problem. I'm taking notes, and I'll be going through.
Okay, thank you. Hopefully we're making it easier by condensing rather than expanding some of the language. Okay, then let's continue. The queue is empty, so we can go to the next sentence here. For this data, it should be noted that the FOA currently cannot be singled out as the sole source of such a difference in failure rate. This data is also relevant to the client transfer prohibited status. However, requirements of the status have recently changed, and then it's quoting a updated policy, which says that registrars may only set a domain name in client transfer prohibited status on registration or subsequent request by the registered name holder, provided, however, this includes registration agreement. Obtaining the express consent of the registered name holder in terms of conditions upon which occurred to transfer the domain name. As noted in 4.1.1, IRTP-related data, 42% of the complaints to out-of-game compliance were found to be invalid. if so many complaints do not understand the IRTP, a possible reason for eliminating the FOA could be simplification. Again, this could increase the user-friendliness of IRTP and drastically reduce issues for ICANN compliance. So I'm actually not really sure how to. I think this is adding some flavor and background to the previous section, but I don't know that it's necessarily necessary here. I think referring to the new policy is, something that we could point out that we could expect, for example, that when this new policy change goes into effect, which I believe is January 2015, that we expect some reduction in the rate of failed transfers because of these new rules regarding the use of client transfer prohibited status. We could say something like that, but otherwise, I see I have a hand up. Alan, go ahead.
I feel very uncomfortable with the paragraph on 42. That references 42%. 42% implies that 58% are not invalid, and that's enough to win most elections. If we're going to quote numbers, I think we really need to do detailed analysis of what they mean and not just give an interpretation of them. So I just feel very uncomfortable with numbers like that. I mean, if it was 97% of all complaints are invalid, it would be a different situation, or 3%, whatever. But I don't feel comfortable with it as it is right now.
Thanks, Alan. I tend to agree. It does feel like we're, I think that the term is cherry picking one particular data point to support a point here. I think that, we have and should continue to say that the FOA is one reason why the IRTP is a complicated process and that it is not easily accessible by registrants. I would propose, and I'm looking for the group to, tell me if they agree or propose alternatives, but I would propose that we boil down the first two paragraphs here as noting that some failed transfers are the result of the use of the client transfer prohibited status. The rules regarding this have recently changed. We can link to the policy. We expect we expect that this will have some impact in reducing the failed transfers resulting from this status, and then that we drop the section regarding the statistics about complaints to ICANN compliance, and that we just basically boil those three sections into one statement like that. I see an agreement from Volker and a hand from Alan. Go ahead, Alan.
Thank you. Not a suggestion on this particular paragraph, but I'll call attention. When I made my comment on the FOA several weeks ago, I suggested that there certainly are strong feelings that the FOA may not be necessary anymore, but there are a lot of changes that are in place, some not enacted yet. We're making more recommendations, and a year or two down the road, we may well be in a position to again review whether the FOA is really necessary or not, and that, I think, is the appropriate time to do a more detailed analysis should we choose to go down that road. There are just too many things clouding the issue right now, and I think we need to defer the question, noting that there's some strong beliefs that it's not necessary anymore.
That's an excellent point, Alan. Can I ask you to hang on to that, because I think that's starting to sound like something that we can use to button up this entire charter question. Really, okay. Is that what you just said? Is that we have some strong views that the FOA is a problem, and what you just said, we need to kind of recapture that.
I will be glad to say it again. I'll note a year ago, it would have been a really dumb thing to say, is that we can go back to this in a year. because the concept of how do you go back to it and opening up a PDP was unimaginable at that point. With the work going on in the policy implementation group right now, I think it's going to be viable.
Okay, thanks. Okay, the next section has a couple of bullet points here that are proposing two reasons to eliminate the FOA. And it says other reasons to eliminate the FOA are that the FOA does not uniquely identify the registered name holder, that the FOA is double authorization already performed by the exchange of the auth info code between the registrar of record and the current registrant, between the current registrant and the gaining registrant, if applicable, and between the gaining registrant and the gaining registrar. And the third point is, if there's a gaining registrant and a gaining registrar, the FOA is sent to the wrong registrant, the current registrant should confirm the change of registrant, not the change of registrar. However, the working group found several reasons the FOA should not be eliminated currently. The working group found that the FOA has a role in auditing of transfers by registrars during outreach, a point also made by compliance and resolving conflicts. I would add that this was also included by the Christine and NAF, the panelists. I'm stumbling on the word here. Sorry, Christine. The independent dispute resolution providers. In that respect, the double authorization that comes with the use of FOAs for any domain name transfer is a useful step that can contribute to resolve transfer conflicts by confirming the validity of the transfer and the authorization of the user with access to the registrant email address, assumed to be the registrant, and in many cases identifiable even if fraudulent. And then there's an example here. I think that we captured this sentiment somewhere in our report earlier. So let's take a pause here and take a look at what we're saying here. We've got some points here, which I think are good and want to preserve them. However, I think once again we should probably look for ways we can condense them, make sure they're presented in a balanced manner. So considerations that could lead to the elimination of the FOA are that it may not always uniquely identify the registered name holder, that the FOA is redundant with the exchange of the auth info code, and that the third bullet point I'm thinking is confusing with the change of registrant procedure that we're working on in IRTPC. I'm not sure, because I don't have that one in front of me, I'm not sure if that's still the case. The gaining registrant, the gaining registrar would be sent to the wrong registrant. So I think that actually that IRTPC change of registrant procedure does ask that the change of registrant occur, or actually ask that the change of registrar occur before the change of registrant. But we should probably confirm that. So I think that those first two bullet points could be condensed into a sentence or two that says something to the effect of what we just stated. And then transition to, you know, on the other hand, the working group found several reasons why the FOA should not be eliminated. And then note some of this here, which may be already covered up above in our earlier draft of observations. So, Lars, I hate to punt this onto your lap here, but I think that we can reduce the language here as well. By just kind of reinserting some of the language that we used above, or even just move it from earlier in this observation section down to this section at the bottom of page 31, green check mark, great. Okay, and then so the last few here, and please, anyone, if you, you know, please don't be shy, raise your hand if you're not Okay, another important distinction to make in favor of FOAs is that GTLDs are not CCTLDs. The registration agreement often presented by gaming registrars is the only registration agreement a gaming registrar has, since GTLD registries do not offer to enter into such agreement with registrants. In addition, CCTLD registries can do policy transfer disputes. This does not apply or is necessary for GTLD transfers and registries. So I think this is an important contrast here. There's two important points that we need to capture here, which is that, I want to see if we can capture these points without directly comparing to CCTLDs, so something along the lines of another important reason to preserve FOAs is that the GTLD does not have a direct relationship, contractually or otherwise, with the registrant, and that the GTLDs do not directly resolve transfer disputes, something like that. Without comparing to CCTLDs, we can say that, there is a weakness here, and that's one of the reasons why we might propose to keep these. I think that the next sentence here, or the next paragraph, the primary reason for not eliminating the FOA, however, is that IRTP working groups A, B, C, and D aim to improve existing policy, not completely rewrite it. If the FOA turns out to be a big contributor to abandon rates, the GNSO Council wishes to truly increase user friendliness. Solid metrics are necessary before the FOA can be eliminated. So much time and effort has been invested into it. Currently, this work group is not competent to take a drastic measure based on one set of data alone. Clear and quality data metrics are necessary. See recommendation number 18. I don't necessarily disagree with this statement. I am worried at the optics of it. Seems a little self-critical. I think that I wouldn't say that's the primary reason for not eliminating the FOA. We certainly had the ability to do so based on our charter. I would like to preserve the point about, and I think this goes back to something Alan said earlier, which is that, we need to revisit this, particularly when all these other issues that are currently unimplemented come into play, that we can revisit this and see if it still makes sense and then put some actual industry-wide data and statistics behind it. So I see I've got a queue here. I'll go to Volker. You're up first.
Yeah, thank you, James. Volker speaking. One thing that we should take great care of when we look at these addendums is that we phrase them in a neutral way. So we shouldn't say X is necessary before Y can be implemented, or the primary reason for not doing X is Y. We should rather try to say we found that there was not sufficient movement or reason to not sufficient evidence to support a removal. We shouldn't say because if we say before this can happen, before the FOA, for example, can be removed, this has to happen, then this still looks like this is actually what we saw as the final result, as the end goal. Now, this can be a result and an end goal, but to phrase the report in this way would indicate that this is actually our goal, when in fact there was lots of discussion about it, and while there was support for it, there was also opposition, and I think we should be very very careful to write it in a way that neither says we do not want to eliminate the FOA ever, or say if we want to eliminate the FOA, which everybody wants, then this and this has to happen before. I think we have to find some middle ground, and the current language doesn't support that.
Thank you, Volker. I tend to agree. I think that we don't want to presume the outcome, which is that we don't want to start from a premise that the FOA is a problem and needs to be eliminated, or we don't want to start from the premise that the FOA is not a problem and therefore should be preserved. I think we want to, if I'm capturing what Volker is saying, is acknowledge that the FOA is a potential for a problem, and that it should be examined, and that we have a number of changes that will affect whether or not will eliminate some of the other contributing factors, and so we will have a clearer picture at some point in the future whether or not this, you know, is a contributing problem. So something along those lines, I think, Volker, would help to neutralize the language so that you know, that we can say essentially what we were trying to say, which is that the IRTP is complicated and it fails frequently for a number of reasons. One of those reasons, you know, is potentially the FOA. And, yeah, I get what you're saying. Alan, you're up next.
Thank you. I have a real problem with the first sentence. I think it's largely wrong. We weren't chartered to rewrite the IRTP, although I dare say if that's what we decided we had to do, it may well have been within our scope. But that notwithstanding, there's nothing to say that eliminating the FOA would not be an improvement if indeed we had found that, you know, clearly. We have not found that clearly, but I don't think there was any reason within our scope or our mandate that we couldn't have eliminated it should that be appropriate. So I think the bulk of that first sentence is just wrong.
Thanks, Alan. Yeah, that's kind of what I was going for as well. I think that we could have thrown the FOA overboard. It was one of our charter questions. But based on, I think, the discussions on either side, you know, was determined that that was maybe not the fastest path forward and that there were benefits, you know, it was weighing the costs and the benefits together.
It would be hard to say one of our charter questions is not allowed. So,
right, it was in our charter. Yeah, I think that paragraph, I actually have issues with that paragraph. Just that the first sentence, as you noted, is probably not correct. We could have, you know, the primary reason for not eliminating the FOA was that there was strong support for keeping it for a number of reasons. That said, there are some positions that call for its elimination. I think that this paragraph probably needs to be thrown overboard and perhaps replaced by something closer to what we were discussing, which is that there are a number, similar to what you were saying earlier, Alan, which is that there are a number of factors that contribute to failed transfers and the over complexity of this policy, and the FOA is likely one of them. But you know, we do not have sufficient data, you know, to support its complete removal, and that we should revisit that when some of these other factors are clearer. Volker, go ahead.
Yes, I think you're completely right. We do not want to go into too much detail here. I think we should highlight that there was a discussion of whether the FOA should be removed or not, that this discussion resulted in, I think, most of a majority or quite a large consensus group that confirmed that more data would be needed, and maybe even highlight a few issues with transfers that could be caused by the FOA, but it's not clear from the data that we have that this is actually the case, and therefore we have decided to keep the FOA as it is for the time being, and propose that this will be looked at again at a later time. That should be, I think, the maximum amount of what we should say here.
Thank you, Volker. I tend to agree. Lars, typed in the chat. I hope this is making sense, and I think that Alan's earlier statement really does a good job here of kind of putting a button on this conversation here about the FOA, at least the observations. Lars, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Yes, I think you may.
Serious echo.
I'm taking notes, and I will go through the transcript when it comes out tomorrow evening. So I'll send it out, and I'll make sure I'll go through the transcript carefully before I send it out.
Thank you, Lars. And thank you to Arthur, too. I think that, you know, beginning with his comments submitted and also by offering the this language, it's been very, you know, I think a very useful discussion. Lars, is that a new hand?
Sorry, that was a little hand.
Okay, there it goes. Okay, then let's see. Moving then to item number 32, we see some recommendations here. I believe the wording of recommendation 17 was a result of our previous call. Yeah, I think that that is correct. Let me just see here. Light of, I don't know if problems is the right word, and we say as light as issues involving FOA or complexities of FOAs in situations such as bulk transfers, comma, merger between registrars and or resellers, comma, and the working group recommends the operability of the FOAs should not be limited exclusively to email. Possible improvements include transmission of FOAs via SMS or authorization to interactive websites. Any innovations must, however, have auditing capabilities. So, yeah, that's fine by me. And then the note there, I believe, that was recommended by some folks from the aftermarket regarding whether or not these could be affected, whether the transfers take place in advance or in real time. The next change is 4.2.7.2. We go to recommendations. And then this is an add-on from Arthur to recommendation 18. Recommendation 18 is, I believe, the let me just see here real quickly because this is the first time I'm seeing this. Recommendation 18 is, I believe, the recommendation that we were saying that once all the IRTP recommendations have been implemented, including IRTPD, you know, the working group, ICANN through the GENSO, commits to convene a council or panel to discuss these topics and collect and analyze data, where it recommend whether enhancements have improved the process and identify possible persisting shortcomings. Then I see here that Arthur has added some proposals such that review should include but not be limited to the number of uncompleted transfers, both before and completed, as well as abandoned transfers collected by registrars, stages of the transfer process, which transfers are abandoned, where an abandoned transfer means any number of uncompleted transfers that are not followed by at least one complete transfer collected by a registrar per registry or ICANN. Number of times registrars are contacted by registrants for transfer support. Number of times registrars work informally with other registrars to request or to effect a reversal of a transfer. Number of times they experience a registrar who complains that their domain name has been hijacked not related to an account compromise. Percentage use of client transfer prohibitor status by registrars collected by registrar per registry of ICANN. The number of complaints ICANN compliance or registrar to receive about the 60-day transfer log, client prohibited, transfer prohibited status, or the FOA. And then if after a period of 12 months of such a review, the GNSO with ICANN staff determined that the situation with great transfers is not improved and the working group recommends a top-to-bottom reevaluation of the transfer process be undertaken, the goal of which to create a simpler, faster, and more secure policy that is more readily understood, more accessible, used by registrants. As for the recommendation that the transfer that a security expert be included in any such review of the working group. Should, for example, a real two-factor authentication be required that is implemented according to industry standards? Okay, so here are my just off-the-cuff reactions. I feel like this language is trying to design that review in this report, whereas we've already indicated that that would be the purview of a follow-up work as commissioned by ICANN through the GENSO Council. I think that the last paragraph is really what we want to say, which is that if after a period of X, the GNSO Council determines that that these policy changes from IRTPA all the way to IRTPD have not improved the transfer process as measured by, you know, we can say by statistics gathered, then the goal, then the working group recommends that the council consider a top-to-bottom reevaluation, et cetera, with the goal of creating a policy that is simpler, faster, and more secure. We can say security expert, but we can also say that the SDAC be consulted, and that I think we kind of leave it at that. So that's my thinking here. I see there's a queue forming. I see there's a lot of stuff going on in the chat. So let's go ahead with Bob. You're up first. Bob, maybe on mute. Bob, let's go to Alan first, and we'll give you a chance to... No, cannot hear you. Let's
okay,
go to Alan.
You. Yep.
And then Bob can come back. Sorry. You'll get the second word, Bob. Alan, you're up.
Okay, thank you. I also don't think we should be designing the follow-up review here. On the other hand, I'm always reluctant to draw... You know, we've done a lot of work. And if it doesn't make its way into the final report, even though it maybe is in some ancillary document, it's lost to history to a large extent. So I would not mind keeping it, but I would change the word should to could. In other words, we're not trying to design it, but we've captured some things that a future group might want to look at, and we're documenting them. And with that change, I can pretty much live with the laundry list.
Okay, thanks, Alan. Yeah, I tend to agree that once they're gone forever, and I'm just wondering if this is the right place for them. This is the recommendation. So I wonder if we can capture this this bullet point list here.
If I can butt in, how about putting it in a footnote? Then it's in the report, but it's not really, you know, part of our formal text.
So I'm fine with that. I was thinking you could also move it back up into the observations of the working group, something like that.
Sure.
You know, either way works for me, Alan. I agree with you. We shouldn't throw it away completely because then it's impossible to bring it back, you know, if and when it's needed. However, I feel like we're trying to design a follow-up study, but this is a recommendation. This is the part that will actually go into the motions that you and I and Volker all vote on. So it feels like these need to be cleaner.
I agree on
that. So, Bob, are you back on? Actually, I have Marika up first, and she's going to help us out through this here. So, Marika.
This is Marika. I'm not sure if you'll consider helping out, but I'll make my point. And one reason why you may want to keep indeed this list in is, you know, you probably need to look at as well, like how, you know, what and how is information going to be gathered to help, you know, inform this panel, or is it the view that as a starting point, the panel would actually need to start collecting information? Because I think one, you know, and I think has commented on previous discussions as well, that, of course, on all these items, you know, further data and information will be needed, not only from what we can gather from ICANN compliance, but probably also from, you know, what registrars or contracted parties can provide. So, you know, one advantage of, you know, starting with such a list could be that maybe that is a way of starting conversations with, you know, parties involved on how we can already start keeping track of some of this information. Because if we're looking at trends, we probably need to start measuring now and not at the moment when implementation has finished. And my other point, which I also made in the chat, was in relation to the first or the second sentence of the actual recommendation, which talks about through the GNSO. I'm wondering if it would be helpful there to actually be a little bit more specific about what through the GNSO means. Does that mean with the approval of the GNSO? Is GNSO supposed to convene this panel? Is ICANN convening the panel, but it's expected to invite the GNSO? That's not completely clear. So it may be good to be more specific what that actually means.
Okay, thanks, Marika. So I think that's additional support for keeping the bulleted list, but an acknowledgement that registrars should be encouraged to examine this data set now and understand what could be tracked, what they're currently tracking, what they could track as a best practice in advance of that review. And I think that probably Alan takes this list out of a footnote and puts it back into the observations as we discussed. So Lars, I hope you got that, because we will want to capture it, but we will change it from should to could, and then we'll note that as a best practice, registrars should be examining this list and tracking this data if they are not already doing so. Then to Marika's second point, I guess there's two ways to go here. We could say specifically which group we want to undertake this review, or we can say essentially the community and leave it vague like that. Of course, that leaves it kind of floating out there, and then it's much more likely that something doesn't happen. So my recommendation is that we specify that, the GNSO Council, together with ICANN staff, should determine that this is sort of thing, then convene a working group of volunteers, something like that. I don't know if that addresses your concern specifically, Marika. I think that something like if approved, and then if it's not working, then maybe that becomes recommendation 19, the follow-up. But I think that we're already kind of hitting on that in recommendation 18. So let's go to Bob. Hopefully you have your audio resolved. Bob, are you there?
Can you guys hear me now?
Loud and clear. Take it away.
Oh, great. Okay, I finally figured it out. I think most of what I was going to say was captured. I support the could include, and I think that would do a lot. I actually think there's a lot of good material here myself. These points are very well made. I just think it's probably halfway there, and with the benefit of I think some really some good good work and good digging could be more comprehensive. I'm a big fan of getting data and making our decisions based on data confirming that we have a real problem as opposed to the optics of a problem. So I do think there's some good material here. I would support it, but I would agree it probably would benefit from a little bit more work to structure it and research it and make sure it's what we're looking to get out of this before we recommend further action.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. I think that's in line with where we're landing on this one as a group, is that this is a good starting point. It's a brainstorming list, so it probably needs some things added to it and maybe some things clarified. But I think that, or at least I believe that everyone is in agreement that it doesn't really belong in the recommendation. It feels like it belongs somewhere else, so we can keep the recommendations as clean as possible. So I think that is where we're kind of coming in for a landing on this charter question and on this recommendation. So Lars, hopefully you have that captured, those changes. I know we were flying around pretty quickly there. So yeah, okay, great. Okay, so then let me scroll down here and see. I think that we're getting close to the end of our hour, if not our actual changes. There's some changes on page 35, and Lars, can you help me? Are those also changes that were proposed since our last call, or are those red lines from previous session? Lars?
Sorry, James. On page 35, the public comment form on the initial report?
Yes. Yes, public comment form on the initial report, section 5.2. Is that new since last week?
Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. Is that new from last week?
I'm sorry. Yeah, no, so on page 35, I mean, this is not different from last week, no. Sorry. It's not different from last week.
Okay, I'm also a little, I couldn't hear you very well. I'm sorry, Lars. It is yes or is not no new from last week?
It is not new.
Okay, it is not new. I'm a little confused here. Section 5.2 is titled Public Comments Forum on the Initial Report, and then the last sentence of Section 5.2 refers to Section 5.2, the Working Group Deliberations and Recommendations. I'm not following that. It's almost like it's referring to itself. Maybe it's just a numbering artifact here where it's really referring to Section 5.1. I don't know. Let me take a look at that.
Yeah, so James, it's me again. Yeah, it's a number issue. It's 4.2. It's because I moved the section down, so it's 3.
Okay. Aha. That makes sense. Thank you. If we can just make a note to fix that little confusing bit. That brings us to really items 3 and 4. We have about 6 minutes left in our call. So I think that we're at a good point now with the language in our report. So as a group, for those who are still awake and playing along at home, I think our next steps are that we need to determine the level of consensus for these recommendations. Now, I have in the past done a couple of different things. First off, we have surveys that we can use, and working group members can express their support for a survey, for a particular recommendation, or they can propose additional refinements to language. I have been cautioned by Marika and others in staff that's not always, encouraged in ICANN circles, because it starts to smell a little close to voting, and for other reasons, it's not necessarily the preferred path. However, I think that, it has some benefits. It has the benefits of keeping the competing or contending edits on the list, on the mailing list down, and it also reaches out to those participants that might want to participate in a survey that don't regularly attend the conference calls. So let's call them the passive participants who are monitoring this working group as opposed to participating actively on a weekly basis. So my preference would be that we don't have a survey, or that we use it very sparingly in keeping with Marika's guidance, that we only use it to absolutely help us unpack some of those situations where we just can't get to agreement. Now, that said, I think that we are approaching a point where these recommendations enjoy, let's say, unanimous or near unanimous or very strong levels of support. So what I would like everyone to do is two things. One, please read the recommendations, if nothing else, the recommendations of the final report that Lars will be circulating here in the next couple of days. These recommendations are we're trying to shake out opposition here. So if you don't have any opposition, nothing, no action is required. But this is, the speak now or forever hold your peace type of point in the process here, where we want the oppositions, we want the concerns, we want the objections, and we want the final edits to the recommendation. If we get to a point where each of these recommendations are find themselves without any active objections, then, my thinking is that those have achieved strong support, strong consensus support, and we would report them as such in our final report. However, we would then want folks to weigh in on and clarify any of those issues where they would have objections. So that's what I would like to do, number one, is read the recommendations very carefully and post to the list if you have objections to the recommendations, along with your proposed edits that would address your concern and remove your objection to that recommendation. That's item number one. The second item is just to read through the report generally so that we can catch little, editing artifact. Lars has been doing just a fantastic job keeping up with the flurry of changes and edits and proposed languages, both on the calls and on the list. But, you know, it's not an exact science, as we found just a moment ago, where we have just a numbering problem. Those sorts of things tend to accumulate as you go further and further into the revision process. So if we could kind of crowdsource this here a little bit and ask everybody to run through this, I think we can shake out and find those typos, find those sentences where maybe we need to break them up or combine them because there's a comma missing. Just, cosmetic changes to the report that don't alter the material substance but just make it a little bit easier to read. And importantly, then reports that are easier and simpler to read are easier and simpler and cheaper to translate and publish in multiple languages, which is an important consideration. So that's my two asks of the group the next week. Read the recommendations, and then read the report generally, and look for those kinds of things that can be fixed. Our next meeting falls on Labor Day
James.
In the U.S. Yes?
James, this is Arthur here. Could I say some last words?
Very, very quickly. I did want to talk a little. Arthur, can you hang on just a second here? Because I think that we need to determine whether or not we're going to have a call next week. So if I could just ask you to hang on for just one moment while we do that.
Yes, okay.
Okay, so folks, can you... next week is a holiday, and a lot of folks in the U.S. will not be online, but can you please, with using the green or red marks, can you please indicate whether or not you can still attend a one-hour call, from the beach or from the, from wherever, and we can kind of get an idea of how many folks we're going to be missing here, and, I'm looking for Canadians and Europeans to weigh in on this as well. And looks like the red marks so far are carrying the day, unfortunately. Okay, so I guess the answer is, Lars, we will not have a call next week. That maybe gives us an extra week. So if you're going to the beach or going to the pool or going to barbecue or something like that, maybe take a copy of this report with you, and just go through the recommendation. Yeah, I'm kidding myself, of course. That'll never happen. I probably won't even do it either. So we're off for next week. Arthur, you have the last word. You have. We are at the top of the hour, but I think, based on your contributions to this last comment and recommendation, we'll certainly give you the final word here.
Thanks, James. And you're not just kidding yourself, you're also kidding me. I'm laughing throughout. Thanks a lot for all the feedback. I've been taking notes and been listening. In general, yes, a more diplomatic language can be used for my contributions, and we can also make it more condensed. I definitely agree on those general directions. I'd just like to mention that not just a picture tells 1,000 words, but data can tell a story as well. So if we're going to include the mentioning of abandon rate or fail rate, it's good to provide some numbers as an example. Even if those numbers are not ratified or fully studied, I would still like to include them, perhaps as a footnote or as a reference, but at least give some indications of what the numbers currently are, even though GTLD transfers and CCTLD transfers cannot be completely compared. And the last thing, about the recommendation 18, it already was a laundry list. I've just clarified it to make it more concrete, so it's more likely to get done. And okay, I've added two items, but for the major part, it already was a laundry list that was there. So that sums up what I would like to say for now, and thanks again.
Yeah, thanks, Arthur, and thanks for your contributions there. And certainly, I think everyone agreed that that was a good list, both as it was and with your additions. It's just a question of moving it to a different place in the report. If there's a way we can keep some of those stats, I think that's a good thing. So thank you. And Volker, you have a hand up.
Yeah, just a counterpoint. I think if we include numbers, these should be vetted, have some basis that can be checked, can be relied upon. Just a data point from one or two data sources that included in the report may give the wrong impression or cause for misinterpretation later on. So if we include data or numbers, then these should be able to rely upon, not without checking.
Yeah, I agree. It sounds like a great topic that we can pick up in our September 15th meeting. Noting that the schedule now gets very compact if we want to deliver our final report by the document cutoff for Los Angeles, which I believe we definitely want to do. So let's be driving with that goal in mind. Okay, everyone. Sorry, thanks for keeping it a couple minutes after. I know some folks have already dropped. Thank you, everyone. Enjoy your holiday weekend, those of you in the U.S. Enjoy your transfer-free Monday for those of you who are not in the U.S., and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Mark.
Good day, everybody.
Thanks, James.
Once again, that does conclude today's teleconference. Please disconnect all remaining lines.